Good morning. Some of you may be familiar with these words. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you'd think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's-its and what's-its galore. You want thingamabobs? I've got 20. I can hear someone singing it with me. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. So I know someone, because I heard someone saying the words, is familiar with that tune. Those are lyrics from a song from a movie called The Little Mermaid. And I'm a product of the 80s, so I could sing to you every word of that song, but I will spare you that torture here this morning. But as I was preparing for today and to share, those words just kept coming to mind, so I decided to go with it. I want more. You do not need to have seen the movie to understand the issue here at hand. You can think of the person, imagine the person who has everything, treasures untold, yet still wants more. I think it's a pretty common scenario. I truly believe that. And whether it's our physical stuff, our never-ending, somewhat or completely unattainable goals for ourselves or for our relationships and the people within them, we humans have this tendency to always want more. We're bent towards discontent, and it happens especially when we're not focused on God and what he wants for us and for his people. Always wanting more, believing that we never have enough. It's a greed-filled, and I would dare to say sometimes dangerous place to be. Have you ever been there? And you don't have to raise your hand, but as you look back, are there times in your past that you've realized in some way that you could have offered up yourself or your resources more readily? A time where you could have been more generous with your help. Maybe you've realized there was a time that you were working furiously to seek precisely the wrong thing. Truthfully, I have. I've held on to personal financial resources longer than I should have. I have admittedly been stingy with my time and hesitant to share my stuff. I've been slow to offer help in certain scenarios for lots of different reasons, and I'm certainly not proud to admit that. But there have been times where this was the case. This was the hard truth, and admitting and acknowledging that leads to the growth point. We have to all guard ourselves, our hearts, our minds, against greedy human tendencies. And as we strive to employ real kingdom economics, which is what this series is all about learning, we also have to be open to understanding how greed can impact us, our whole being, our habits, and our behaviors. And in this book, it's called Enemies of the Heart, Breaking Free from Four Emotions That Control You, Andy Stanley says this: greed knows no socioeconomic boundaries. I've met greedy poor people and greedy rich people. Greed isn't a financial issue. It's a heart issue. Financial gain doesn't make greedy people less greedy. Financial gain or loss actually doesn't change anything because greed emanates from the heart. Greed emanates from the heart. Ouch. Greed's an issue of the heart. So what fuels greed in good Christian, Christ-following people who know and understand that things such as generosity and tithing and serving others, giving of ourselves, is important? In addressing ways to confront greed, Stanley later goes on to say that unbeknownst to most greedy people, greed is fueled by fear. Once you peel back all the excuses and the endless but what if scenarios, you will discover a heart full of fear. Specifically, this person fears that God either can't or won't take care of him. And if God won't, then who will? So greedy people set out to acquire and maintain everything they need to provide the sense of security they desire. And I think it's really critical and pivotal to understand what was just said. Greed is fueled by fear. And I think that goes against a common misconception that greedy people are somehow mean or nasty people. And I just believe that that's not always the case. Oftentimes, greedy people are trying desperately to satisfy a deep need for security or a deep unmet need for control. And like many human desires and thought distortions, this can get out of control quickly and lead us to habits like hoarding up our treasures, greed, and overindulgence. And ultimately, it can lead us to stray our focus from King Jesus and his style of economics and resource utilization. Greed and fear can lead us to hold on to all of the treasures that we have. Our treasures. What is one to do with them as a follower of Christ? If we're not to store them up, what should we do? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus warns us against storing up our stuff, our collective stuff here on earth, where it can be destroyed and broken and stolen. And simply put, we're advised not to hoard up our treasures and selfishly keep them for ourselves or for our own benefit. But rather, we should invest in God's work and the kingdom and the things that are of true eternal value. We can do this in a whole variety of ways and through our obedience towards God. And don't miss this part. Tithing is absolutely one important and absolutely necessary way that we really can invest our earthly treasures in heaven. And we also can and should seek to serve God and invest in his work in all that we do. In every part of our lives, we can choose to place our treasures of all kinds with him. So we all have treasures, and this is a big praise, because praise God for these wonderful things that are in our lives. We are truly blessed to know the joy, the stability, and all of the good that can come from the treasures in and of our lives. Knowing what your treasures are is important. You see, each one of us has some treasures that probably look and feel a bit similar, and at the exact same time, other treasures are quite different and unique to us and offer a great variety amongst all of us in the body. Knowing what these things are, where and how we store these things, it really can help us to gain clarity on what our intentional next steps might be when we choose how to invest them. How we share our resources. Many, or maybe most, if not all of our treasures can likely fall within one of these four broader categories. And John introduced these briefly last week. Finances and assets, our time, our relationships and how we invest in them, and our skills and talents. Those are four broad categories of personal treasures that we all hold. So finances and assets. When it comes to finances and assets, quite practically, this is our money. This is our physical stuff. This category of treasures would include things like banking and investment accounts, your cash flow, your home, your vehicle, all those hard assets, the stuff in your life, the things that you have. Consider a moment how you choose to spend, save, and generally use these treasures. How do you financially invest? How do you use your home? Do you welcome people into it? Do you offer a ride to a friend who has a child needing to get to practice, or for someone to get here to church on Sunday morning? All ways that we can use our finances and assets for good. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 21, we read, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me, says Jesus. We might not all need to sell all of our belongings, but maybe some of us are doing that, or maybe some of us should do that. But for all of us, giving, tithing, generosity towards others, it's important. Doing so willingly and even cheerfully is important. 2 Corinthians, and Dan referenced it already this morning, we get a reminder that God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giving of all kinds, of all of those resources that were just shared. It's important, and it's necessary in the life of a Christ follower. Let's watch this together. Living generously and investing your financial resources in heaven is so, so good. When we focus on our Father, so, so good. One of our greatest treasures. Another treasure that we have to share, our time. Your time, it's one of your very greatest resources, and yet so many of us use it rather haphazardly. Time is fleeting. Time is easily wasted. And it is a resource that once it's gone, you cannot get it back. Investing and using your time wisely takes intentionality. Using your time wisely takes planning. So for a moment, consider the ways you use your free time, because we all have commitments and work and vocation and other calling that we need to follow through on. So just consider your free time right now. Do you use your time as you would a treasure? Do you use your time wisely and with focus? Or do you use your free time haphazardly or in a distracted, unpredictable way? Our time is a treasure, and we may want to guard it. And yes, we do want to guard this treasured resource from worldly distractions, but we also have to remember that offering our time to God doesn't always mean time off or time alone. This can mean that we offer our time to God in a whole variety of ways. It can be putting down your phone. It can limit other distractions. Schedule time in your day or in your week to be in the Word. Could be time with loved ones that is free of distraction and intentional. It could mean time intentionally invested in self-care. It could be serving God and serving others in some of your spare moments throughout your week, or any number of valuable and intentional ways that you can choose to invest your time. When we offer our time to the Lord through serving, working hard, and being intentional in what the margin of our lives look like, what the margin of our lives feel like, we are investing wisely. And here's the thing with time. When we choose to invest our time in the Lord in any number of those ways, there's a return on our investment. Spending time with God is the single best way to discern and sharpen the focus of all the rest of your time. When we spend time with God, that helps us to stay focused on all things good. And while it's not the reason that we serve, it's important to acknowledge when we use our time to bless and serve others, we are most certainly blessed. There's a great return on investing your time wisely. So what about that next third area of personal treasure, our relationships? Especially on a day like today, Mother's Day, I am keenly aware that the people in my life truly are a treasure. My relationships with them are so dear. My children, my husband, my own mother, my family, my friends, they're all a special kind of treasure that hold a very special place in my heart. And I believe that is probably the case for special relationships with people that you have in your own lives. They can be our greatest treasures. And these gifts can also be really, really hard to share with other people. And sometimes we can even struggle to trust God with our loved ones or willingly release them to His plans and trust in His care for them. We must trust God with even our nearest and dearest treasures. Philippians 1:6 reminds us to be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He will not fail us. He will not fail our loved ones, our children, our family, our friends. He began a good work in all. Dr. Michaela Albertson, who is the author of a book and blogged with the same title called Ordinary on Purpose, and she says something that really resonated with me this week. And this is what she said. The hardest part of my own faith is trusting God with my greatest treasures, believing my children are His. His. And trusting He will seek my children. He will lead them wherever they are meant to go. And as Christian people, we must surrender to God's will for us and for our loved ones. It's sharing our most valuable resources, our most valuable treasures with God, the one who loves them more than we will ever be able to comprehend. That's the wisest way that we can invest our treasured relationships. And finally, how about our skills and our talents? And I know 2 weeks ago we spent some time talking through this together. Your skills are God-given and unique to you. They are your personal resources and they're meant to be shared. Skills and talents can lend themselves to all sorts of meaningful calls to work, vocation, and trade. These things become beautiful, fulfilling craft and hobbies. But remember, 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Your talents are gifts from God meant to share and serve others. They are treasures that you have that you can gift to those around you. Those are treasures not to be stored up and hoarded inside just for you. God meant for them to be shared. And if we store those treasures up inside of us and keep them to ourselves, we simply are not doing our job. There are so many ways that you can share your variety of skills and make quite an impact for the kingdom. Indeed, we all have these kinds of treasures. And what we do with our treasures, how we use it, how we choose to invest, how we choose to store those treasures, it's really important stuff to consider, very intentionally. Because Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I'd like for us to read that together one time. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This particular verse is always, it always feels like a 2x4 right on the side of the head, like wham, there it is. A reminder to check myself, check my lifestyle, and take a look at what I'm focused on. And as I was preparing for today, I was chatting with a friend here, and he responded with this in regard to this particular piece of scripture. "Look at how you're spending, and you'll know just what you are focused on." Look at your spending, and you'll know exactly what you're focused on. And that was a yowza moment. Like, oof. Sometimes these true reminders can be really helpful. And that statement, it's true of your financial spending, but it's true of how you spend and use and invest all of your resources. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is true of all of your resources. And when we're focused on worldly or selfish desires, your ability to share your treasures become compromised. We're not able to be fully generous with our own resources of any kind when our pride or our greed says we need to get it all and keep it all, and we hold on tightly. When we're able to focus upward and outward, however, our hearts can then remain open to God-honoring generosity. And when our hearts are open to the Lord and not consumed by grief, we can live with a new perspective of abundance and an other's orientation, regardless of our financial resources. Giving of our time, our relationships, and giftings that we share freely with others as we serve God. And here's just a simple reminder as we're working through this idea of gifting our treasures and sharing with others. Self-sacrificial and cheerful giving and sharing is powerful, and it is so, so good. It can change lives. It does change lives. And it can be done quietly. When we serve others, when we give generously, when we share our treasures in all the good ways, we don't need to brag about it. We can serve, we can lift it and offer it to the Lord, give him thanks for the blessings we have received and the treasures that we have to share, and move on. And just as we all have treasures to share, we also have these literal and sometimes metaphorical treasure chests where we store these things. But what should we do with these treasures? If we're not to hold on to them and we're not to store them here on earth, what should we do? How do you figure out what to do with your treasures so that you can stay focused on the right aspects of kingdom economics? How do we stay in tune with what God wants for us and our resources? Well, Jesus says this: "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So Jesus calls the eye the lamp of the body, and the eye quite literally is the source of our vision of the whole world, taking in the light and darkness that's around us and helping us to see clearly. That's what the eye does. It's our spiritual vision that allows us to see what God wants for us and how to get a view that he might have of the world, how he might see the world. And as we seek to focus on what God wants, not ourselves, but what God wants and what God sees, and we strive to do his work, our eyes can be clear. When we try to serve others and serve God, it's as if we're waking up and clearing out our eyes. So what clouds this vision or focus? What clouds our vision spiritually is our own selfish and greedy, self-serving desires. We keep that eye full of light, and remember that light is a word that is often used as a reference for truth and goodness. So we keep that eye full of light when we stay close to him in prayer, again, time in the word, and as we serve God and others, freely sharing our treasures, freely sharing our gifts and resources, our eyes can remain more clear and focused on God. And when I think of all of those things with reference to this scripture, I think of staying close and serving the Lord as a way that we can polish our lamps, very intentionally staying focused on him. And here's one more consideration. When we think about how we use, save, and share our treasures, we have to accept that you cannot have it both ways. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve both God and money. Devote yourself to the Lord and use your stuff to invest in heaven. spend yourself in kingdom work. In today's world, we're surrounded by messages of materialism. We have distractions in our pockets, on our wrists, and all over the place. We're surrounded by messages that reinforce the value of things and stuff. So many people are living on this hamster wheel cycle of buying, collecting, and storing up so many things in their treasure chests that are of little to no eternal value. Things that are all going to be left behind. So many of us are driven towards showing off and hoarding up any number of treasures that we can get our hands on. It's a trap, especially according to 1 Timothy that reads, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. My study guide this week asked a very straightforward and poignant question to prompt further thought and further prayer, and I'm going to ask you today to ask yourself, who or what is your master? The real answer can be found when you consider who or what is most frequently in your thoughts. Who or what is motivating your actions, day to day, minute to minute? God? Or is it someone or something else? These are tough questions, but now is as good a time as any to take a look for the real answer. Because it's only after doing so that we can confess and repent and seek to get right with God. It's then that we can ask forgiveness and move forward to make a change, to truly invest our treasures in Him. Will you pray with me? God, thank you. Lord, we are so thankful for every gift you have given us. We commit our whole selves to you and all of our treasures and stuff, Lord. Help us to invest only in you. Guide us to serve only you. Lord, help us to know how and when to give freely. Point us to know where we should share generously. Father, help us to stay focused on things only of you. Forgive us, Lord, if we have been storing up for ourselves and holding back from sharing generously with you and your people. Lord, thank you that we can seek you and your wisdom. Lord, we love you now and always. Amen.